Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
Good morning, H-Town. Time to go to work.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Football Friday. Happy Friday. Happy Football Friday to all of you. Great to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are here with you till 10 a.m. with you all day long here, midday, afternoon, here on Sports Radio 6. And Seth and I are only here till 10 a.m., and then we got to go get our minds right for Texans Countdown on Sunday. How you doing, man?
Texans Countdown Sunday, Battle of the Piney Woods
tomorrow. Yeah.
There is high school football games tonight, and then last night, one football game, three pretty poor quarterback displays, and one massive concussion.
Yes.
So, yeah, Tua, if you went to bed early last night, Tua Tagovailoa, it was almost like he had his official concussion last night, where it was like a soft opening concussion on Sunday, where you like kind of when you have a restaurant grand opening, but it's not really open to the public. It's just for a few select people to come in and kind of do a dress rehearsal of sorts.
Yep.
That was the Sunday the non-concussion, the back injury where with concussion-like symptoms.
I've not heard that comparison, but I hate to say it, I like it. I mean, I do like the comparison. I hate that Tua had to leave the game with what looked like a much more serious concussion than the one he may or may not have suffered on Sunday. Just to set the scene, it was sometime in the first half, I believe in the second quarter, Tua gets slung down to the ground on a clean play. I mean, he got slung down to the ground, and he bumped his head on the turf. Similar to how he bumped his head on the turf when he got knocked down on Sunday by Matt Milano of the Bills. Although on that one, he got kind of pushed backwards and hit the back of his head. This one, he kind of, the side of his head hit the ground. It didn't look to be all that hard. But the reaction, you would have thought that he almost had his head taken off because he was doing, it didn't look like the fencing.
It's called posturing,
Is that what it is?
His hands were kind of clenched up close to him. Like he was,
his fingers palsy. Were doing things that looked like it would hurt to do if you were just trying to do them while you're sitting there. The closest thing that I've seen to his neurological reaction, Seth, to that was a hit that Andre Johnson took over the middle several years ago where he got hit and his arms seized up. He looked like he was flexing.
It's called posturing. Yeah. Fencing is when you're posturing but where your arms are straight out.
Yeah.
So it's your muscles. What is that? I think they become atonic is the word. They just tense up. And so as soon as you see that, you know it's a head injury.
Yeah.
There's no claiming that it's a back injury. There's a whole lot of suspicion over the way this has been handled. I do think that it's notable that there is that much clamor over this in that it's in stark contrast to everything else that's happened with the concussion policy. Really, since I think maybe Tom Savage was the last real notable time that people were skeptical of the way procedures were going. I always give the benefit of the doubt to the teams and medical staffs because the NFL has actually done a really good job. I mean, the concussion, as they've monitored concussions more extensively, the total number of concussions reported has still gone down compared to what it used to be. So they've done a really good job of monitoring this. And it's an inexact science. And sometimes guys, depending on what their baseline tests were, I think sometimes guys like Tua can fly under the radar. Now, maybe there, I mean, the NFLPA is investigating, so maybe there was something more to it. But I think that it's probable that at the very least, it really looks like this is something that somehow the testing protocol didn't snag. Because like all the classic things of, A, he looked like he had a concussion on Sunday. B, he got the second concussion pretty easily, you know, and lots of things can give you a concussion that don't look that severe. But for him to have such drastic symptoms off of a hit that didn't seem that big, like that happened, it's easier to get the concussion or a worse concussion when you already have the effects of one. So something went wrong here, I would guess.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. And just for context, this Tom Savage incident that Seth was referring to, a lot of Texan fans remember it, but for those who don't, it was 5 years ago. So that's, you know, as far as like the time frame that Seth is referring to, for how long it's been since at least you and I, Seth, can remember something that was as scrutinized as this Tua thing. And I'll say scrutinized, not just this morning. This is something that's been scrutinized over the course of the last 6 days, because the NFLPA has opened an investigation on the Sunday hit. So this was already something that was getting attention. The concussion last night for Tua, a confirmed concussion, by the way. He did fly back with the Dolphins last night. So as far as where Tua is at, because, boy, I'll tell you, halftime of this game, the studio show at halftime was treated like a Tua funeral. It was, I mean, the Tua was the entire topic, and rightfully so, he should have been the big topic. I mean, that was the big topic of the first half. The NFLPA issued a statement last night saying player health and safety is at the core of the union's mission. Our concern tonight is for Tua, and we hope for a full and speedy recovery. Our investigation into the potential protocol violation is ongoing. Again, the protocol violation alleged that they're referring to is from Sunday, not last night. That statement came out at about 10 o'clock last night. Here was Mike McDaniel last night following the game when asked what goes into the decision to put Tua back on the field on Sunday and the decision to take him off of the field last night.
What goes into every one of those decisions, that, you know, it starts with your medical staff, but then there's independent specialists that look into it too. There's an entire protocol, and then you're talking to the player as well. So probably, I don't know, five or six different layers of a process and decision making, like you do with all players.
I think that's an important thing to note, Seth, what McDaniel was just trying to lay out right there, which is there is going to be understandable skepticism from the public at large that doesn't know the layers of the concussion protocol. They're just looking at it through a prism of skepticism when it comes to this, as they should, based on the history of the league prior to about the last 5 or 6 years with concussions. The fact that the Dolphins are the team that's involved in this adds a layer of skepticism to everything, given all the things they've been accused of over the last several months. I think I think that's important to lay out what McDaniel just said, which is like, no, there are independent, several layers of independent people who have nothing to do with the Dolphins that are involved in this, which makes Sunday all the more crazy that Tua got back on the field as staggered as he was in that Buffalo game.
I think the one thing too that people might not realize is that, like, how hazy. I shouldn't even say that the science is hazy. They're learning new stuff all the time. But not to go all Brock Osweiler on you, but every concussion it tells a different story. Yeah. You know, it depends on what area of the brain, how it happened, all of those things, the individual and how he or she recovers. Like, all of that stuff is different, and a lot of the testing protocols are still being refined. So I think that it's very possible that Tua had some kind of issue on Sunday, but it wasn't caught in the testing afterwards, and that somehow he just flew under the radar. And there's two extremes. One is the Dolphins were just lying the whole time. They paid off the independent consultant for some reason to get their young quarterback out on the field to play through a concussion. That seems like a tall tale for me to believe, versus the other, which is, all right, somebody screwed up, or it's just one of those situations where the science isn't perfect yet.
Is it in poor taste for me to bring up this point about Tua and getting him back on the field and skirting protocols and this and that? Tua's not all that much better than Teddy Bridgewater. Like, it's not
no,
like...
No, they all sucked it, last it's, night. It's they're not they're
like,
awful.
Yeah, it's not like... I thought Teddy was pretty good for a while till that pick at the end, which may have been Gesicki's fault. But I, like, yeah, it's not like we're talking about getting Aaron Rodgers back out on
by the way, everybody, Tua didn't die. Will everybody just shut the hell up for a minute? I like, people are carrying on like the funeral is this afternoon or something. I'll tell you what, no matter how you feel about the Queen or Tua Tagovailoa's service record and what they did in their life, just appreciate that now they're both dead.
Did you watch the halftime show? Of the Amazon,
no,
okay, because it was all, it was the gravitas of like, yes, there's a game going on, but the big topic we're all, that's all on our minds right now, is Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, like, when was the last time somebody, we'll worry about issues down the line, of course.
Yeah.
Anybody that's had a concussion or head trauma, well, you have to worry about stuff down the line, but everybody realizes that Tua's not dying this week, right?
And Fitzy, like,
do people actually know that?
Some don't, evidently, but Fitzy... Fitzy's on that halftime show, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he's a former teammate of Tua Tagovailoa's. So if someone's going to be emotional about it, I guess, you know, you understand if it's Fitzpatrick because he's close friends with the guy. He shared a quarterback room with the guy. But at the end, like, Fitzy, I don't think he was even being, like, literal and serious, but at the end, he's like, man, it's stuff like this makes it hard to, you know, focus on the second half for guys like us in the booth. And Charissa Thompson, like, reaches over and, like, rubs him on the shoulder. Like, this is, like, the first concussion that's ever happened.
If he was trying to cry, if he was trying to work up some tears or something, it's good. It's good.
And the stretcher part is scary. I don't want to minimize that part of it either.
Right. Yeah. No, and I mean it's good that they. It's good that people have that reaction as opposed to what it was like in the 90s when somebody would get messed up like that and we thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
So if you have to choose between two extremes, I guess go on the side of acting like Tua's going to die this morning in his hospital bed. He flew home with the team, by the way, everybody. So, yeah, it's not – I checked on that before I decided to criticize everybody for acting so drastically.
Yep, he's back.
Because sometimes now, especially with hockey players, it seems, you've got – bleeding or something, and guys end up in dire situations. This is not one of those situations.
If you're looking for an edge as the football weekend starts to play out here and you're picking games, check out the BetQL network. Live odds, real-time projections, weekly best bets. Ooh, whether you're an amateur, better, or trying to be one of the sharps, BetQL will help you work smarter, not harder. BetQL, the home for wagertainment. Find it on the Odyssey app. Up next, let's shift over to the Astros. They're trying to clinch the best record in the American League tonight at Minute Maid Park. There's an article in The Athletic, the biggest problem for the 12 MLB playoff teams. The Astros' problem, air quotes, is one that is honestly going to make everybody in Major League Baseball hate us more than they even hate us already. We will get to that next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
The Astros got rich people problems. They got rich people problems, man. I'm looking at the an article on The Athletic that lists out what's the biggest issue for each of the likely 12 playoff teams. There's still some jostling going on in the layers well below the Astros strata on which they sit. There's the little peasant wildcard teams trying to find their way into the postseason. The Astros and Houston will be sitting and watching for a few days late next week as they battle it out to see who gets fed to the Astros. However, here are the other American League teams' biggest problems, according to The Athletic. I'm going to rapid fire the other five teams before I get to the Astros. These are the big problems that American League teams have. We don't need to dig into each of these. This is just the problem itself. Mariners, do they have enough offense behind their key bats? Okay, well, that's
been
a problem.
Worried about that.
Yep. The Rays, the Astros' opponent tonight, by the way, will their offense show up? Well, yeah, mm-hmm. That's a big problem.
Or their fans as well.
As well, that's absolutely. The Blue Jays, who are the four seed right now, is the lineup too right-handed? Okay.
That's potential COVID protocol issues.
Yeah. That's a more specific problem. But that's a problem. The Guardians, who are going to be the champs of the AL Central, do they have enough home run power for the postseason? Yeah,
we know that home runs can be helpful in the playoffs.
I've heard that. Yes.
Yes.
The Yankees, will the bullpen hold up? Okay. Well, that's a big problem if your bullpen doesn't hold up. Now we get to the Astros. Which starter goes to the bullpen?
Yeah. All right. You know what though? That's lazy. That's a lazy journo right there. This is what comes from not having a beat writer in Houston anymore. They're like, I don't know what's going on with Houston anyway. I don't know. They got seven starting pitchers. That's the issue.
Yeah.
They couldn't mention something about center field or anything.
Well, okay, that was what I was going to ask you. Yeah. Okay, so let's dig into this here, because the only problem with which starter goes to the bullpen is, okay, is Dusty going to pick the right one? Because they're all really good pitchers. They're anywhere from good to elite.
Yeah, and I'm so over pretending to wring my hands over whether guys will be able to handle coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah.
I don't know that. I people start acting like they haven't paid attention since 2017, and they're like, oh, but boy, could you possibly use the pitchers unconventionally and have success with it?
Yeah. You mean...
How could we ever know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Charlie Morton closed out Game 7 of the Astros' only World Series championship ever.
Yeah.
But as somebody who watches the Astros on a nightly basis, Seth, unlike possibly whoever put this article together, you just mentioned center field. If you were talking about biggest problems for the Astros, and we weren't trying to do a rich person problem, like which starter goes to the bullpen, how do they handle this plethora of elite pitching that they have? I would say center field. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, I would say, well, they just elevated Jake Myers, so...
that's not solving anything for me.
Sean, he's he's hitting over 200, Sean, this season, is what you need to... I don't think people realize that he's a full 9 points over 200 on the year.
I thought you were going to hit me with his Sugarland Space Cowboys stats.
I was wondering, I saw that you had put those stats in the show prep, and I didn't know what the hell you were talking. I was like, what split did you take this from?
Yeah.
And it was from apparently AAA.
So, AAA, for like a sustained period, like a month.
Yeah. Right. And now, with Jake Myers, it's always been, or at least for the last year, it's been about, okay, did he push it too hard coming back from his shoulder issues? Or, you know, did he never actually recover from his shoulder injury that he had in the playoffs last year? The Sugarland people have said, hey, you know, you didn't really have all that great an arm to begin with. That's fine, I guess, if you're saying, okay, he doesn't have a hose from center field, and that's something you're going to have to deal with, but that doesn't explain exactly why he was so atrocious at the plate when he was here. So, if it took some time to just kind of settle in and get comfortable and maybe tweak some things with his shoulder, then I'm certainly open to Jake Myers having a resurgence, of course.
There's no solution that's presented itself in center field where I would say, don't throw Jake Myers out there. Like, I'm not a huge Jake Myers fan. I've not understood the kind of fascination that Dusty seems to have with Jake Myers. But I look, if he's the best solution, he's the best solution, and he has had a good month in Sugar Land. So he's back on the big league club. Yiner Diaz, who I've conceded that's how his name is pronounced since he said that's how my name is pronounced.
You know what it is, Sean?
Yeah.
There is a little, because you and I actually spent way too much time on this. There, in various, depending on where your Hispanic accent is from, sometimes there's almost like a little, it sounds like a J to our ear, I guess, yeah. To our gringo ears.
Yeah.
It almost does sound like a, because Ortiz, when he says it, it almost sounds like, he says Jordan,
yeah.
With almost a little J in front of it.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So I give you immunity.
Okay.
On your past transgressions, okay. Trying to say it was pronounced Jiner.
Yeah, okay, good. Yeah.
Which sounds disgusting.
My Hispanic accent is from Simsbury, Connecticut. So that's,
yeah.
Text message 713-572-4610. This was on the text page the second you and I got in this morning. Good morning, Sean and Seth. Longtime listener from Shiner, Texas. Shout out to Shiner. If you guys could please pass along a message to the NFL. Oh, okay.
Good.
Seth has about 17 messages he's trying to get to the NFL right now. I'm not spending a dime on Amazon Prime in the future. I signed up for the free trial, and every game that I watched has a 2-second delay from the audio to the video. They can kiss my ass. I'm not tuning in yes. for this BS and paying
yes.
for it. Adios, NFL.
Yes. Yes. You know, that's one thing I've noticed about the different reviews people have given, both in publications and just on social media or our text line. The experience varies vastly from person to person, from internet, from television to television, from internet service to internet service, because some people will say there was hardly any delay at all from the TV broadcast. Now, I know this texter was saying that his actual audio and video on his TV was delayed. It's a grab bag of how your TV is going to respond. That's where we are right now with streaming. It's not stable. It's not as stable as television, and it's not as easy access as television. There's still a little bit of work involved and a little bit of inconvenience. So we're not there yet. And yet, Amazon paid how much to the NFL?
Over $1 billion.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you. There's times where I can kind of appreciate what Mark Cuban said about pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered, or the opposite, whatever it says. I don't think the NFL cares a damn. They don't have a customer service department.
No.
If you have an issue with NFL Plus, which used to be NFL Game Rewind, which is just an atrocious service, and yet they take your money and they advertise it, you can't get a hold of anybody to talk to them about it.
Nope.
It's absurd. They don't care.
Yeah.
Again, we're all suckers for it.
Well, they have a monopoly. Where else are we going to go to get it? You know, it's some person uploading it to YouTube, and then the NFL's got an army of people that scrub that off of the internet.
It's another thing I spent too much time on is determining whether you can actually call it a monopoly or not. And a lot of labor law people would tell you can't really call it a monopoly. Mm. They have antitrust exemptions.
Oh,
and some advantages, but it's not the same as it's not like the NFL and any time recently has tried to snuff out the competition or a lesser league.
Hey, watch this, Seth. Monopoly, monopoly. The NFL is a monopoly. Come and get me, NFL. Come on, 19th floor, 24 Greenway. Come and get me.
It took me like 20 years to figure out what antitrust even meant.
Yeah,
they don't tell you in social studies. It's like, this is the antitrust law. It's against the trust. It's for the trust of the people. I don't know.
Yeah, I've willfully ignored it. I've chosen not to go dig more deeper into it. Join Clint Sterner in the show. They're at Cooper's Barbecue in Katy. Ooh, yum. They have good food out there and free beans. For a Miller Lite Football Friday.
Free beans?
Free. The beans are free. They're
I could walk in and just be like,
no, I think you got to buy something. But that's what I was just going to say. Don't go there and buy a Diet Coke and then sit there and eat beans all afternoon.
But it's like saying like where some places it's unlimited peanuts.
Yeah.
You get unlimited
same
beans
thing.
There.
Same thing. Unlimited beans. Yeah.
That's a lot of protein.
Yeah.
A lot of fiber, but a lot of protein.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Don't know if I want to be in the car with somebody who's been eating unlimited beans all day, but it's a nice perk of going and eating there. And I've been there. The beans are delicious.
Mm.
So they'll be there from 2 to 6, eating beans and talking football. Hang out with the guys, have some great food, free beans, cold drinks. I added the free beans. Get ready for Sunday when the Chargers come to town. It's a Miller Lite Football Friday. Up next, speaking of the Chargers, Brandon Staley met with the media yesterday. He interviewed for the Texans head coaching job back in before the 2021 season. What was his interview like with Nick Caserio? What are his thoughts on the direction of his opponent on Sunday, the Houston Texans? That is next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
Texans and Chargers on Sunday, noon kick. Seth and I got Texans pregame. Texans countdown presented by Modelo at 9 o'clock. If you're going out to the game and you're in Bud Light Plaza, stop by, say hello. We're looking forward to it. Noon kick and then Texans postgame following the game, taking you up to Sunday night football. There is Sunday morning football, too. So the Vikings and the Saints have the first overseas game this week. So there is that as well, as we're on the cusp. Actually, we're into week four now. The Dolphins, if you missed it, lose last night to the Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals even their record at 2-2. Dolphins no longer undefeated. 27-15, the final score. Big story in that one if you're just waking up. Tua Tagovailoa left the game with what looked to be a much more serious concussion than the one he may or may not have sustained on Sunday against the Bills.
Right. Yeah. So all kinds of intrigue and questions about whether or not the protocol failed him, whether the individual – I guess that would be the question, whether the protocol failed him or whether the individual people conducting the protocol, specifically the independent advisors, were somehow affected. So there's an investigation. They'll figure it out. I think from a pure football perspective, if you evaluated Tua and Joe Burrow up to the point where Tua got injured and then Joe Burrow afterwards, neither of these guys looked all that sharp. I mean, nope. Tua had one really ugly interception, and then like in the next quarter, the series before his injury, like a wildly errant downfield pass. He can be as accurate as he wants. I told you, Sean, they were trying to turn him into the quarterback equivalent of Tavon Austin. He's great. He's accurate at throwing screens. Whoop-de-doo for you. Him downfield, Tyreek Hill's going to get so tired of having to slow up and come back for unintentionally thrown. When Pat Mahomes underthrows you, it's a back shoulder fade. When Tua underthrows you, it's because he just doesn't have the arm to get it there.
Yeah.
And Burrow, boy, Burrow had his appendectomy a couple months before training camp. He was hardly in training camp at all. I remember there was that funny video of him doing the wind sprints in his golf cart alongside everybody else. And everybody thought, yeah, no big deal. And then last night, and all of this season really, he's really only had one, I think, credible game, and it was maybe last week. But before that, it's been a whole lot of misfires.
Yeah, he was good in the second half of this one. He did enough to win the game. He had a real nice deep ball to T. Higgins that got them a touchdown.
Was it though? That was underthrown too.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, T. Higgins. I mean, he didn't have to reach back for that.
Yeah, he had to reach back. He didn't have to stop. Yeah, he didn't have to stop for it. I guess maybe I got. Maybe watching Tua throw deep balls that I actually saw the other quarterback throw one that hit the guy slightly behind him but still in stride was good enough for me. But Joe Burrow, and honestly, Seth, as you say that, and we're going to get to Brandon Staley here in just a minute, my big takeaway from that game last night is that for a team that was undefeated going into that game and for the other team who's the defending AFC champs, it's not two great teams. You know what I mean? You think the Texans have trouble running the football? Go watch Joe Mixon try to run the football last night for the Bengals. They were atrocious. They supposedly upgraded their offensive line this offseason. I haven't seen it yet.
I know. Well, and if you think about just when I watch these teams, I think about, okay, what is Davis Mills working with versus what is Tua Tagovailoa and Joe Burrow working with.
Oh, it's light years different.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm trying to be honest, you know, and fair with Davis Mills as much as I can, because it's easy to pile on. And any of the bottom half quarterbacks in the league right now, if they were out there last night playing the way that those quarterbacks played, I would be angered, right? Yeah. I would say, like, what the hell? You've got Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd and all these guys, and you can't look better than this. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
So it's a little dose of a reality pill. Frankly, Sean, I think there's we're still at a point where there's three good quarterbacks in the NFL, and everything else is just window dressing and fakery.
Early on, that is what it feels like. I guess what I would say about that, Seth, is if it sounds like we're being a little bit apologist for Davis. His best weapon is Brandon Cooks, who, by the way, himself has not had a great first three games of the year. My counterpoint to ourselves as I try to get back into my Davis anger mode is, just don't get shut out in the fourth quarter. Score a point in the fourth quarter. Asking you to go be Aaron Rodgers, but just don't be at the bottom of the barrel on all this stuff.
Don't look as god awful as
I said earlier, we've said it all week, a B minus. If you were a B minus in any of these games, if you're a B minus in all three of these games, you're probably 2-1.
That's right where, and I think that when I listen to various podcasts or watch stuff from outside of Houston, what they'll say invariably is, man, Houston's played three games right down to the wire. And what's lost in the context there, because nobody's actually watching these games, is that, no, they've completely gotten dominated in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They've lost these games. This is not like a back and forth, coin flip type of situation. It's like, no, they've gotten beaten in the fourth quarter.
If they were prize fights, they would have called the fight somewhere at about the 10-minute mark left in regulation in these games. That's how I look at it. But you're right. Nobody's watching these games outside of Houston and whatever city they're playing against. Brandon Staley. This Sunday, they are playing against the team coached by Brandon Staley, who at one time was interviewed by the Houston Texans for their vacant head coaching job two head coaches ago, before they hired David Culley. Here's Brandon Staley on his interview with the Texans back in 2021.
Nick Caserio is someone that I have the utmost respect for. I've known Nick a long time, and I think that in the NFL, I have as much respect for him as anybody. And so I just remember it being a really thorough interview. I remember learning a lot. Being able to engage Nick and kind of his vision for the Texans and the state of that team and where he was trying to go with it. So, I knew that, I knew the Texans were in good hands, and I think as a prospective candidate, it's so much about the people. It's so much about, aligning with the right people. So, I think Nick's doing an outstanding job there.
The other connection that those two have was that Brandon Staley did a tour at John Carroll. Which is
a stretch. Yeah. I did a stretch at John Carroll back in the day.
John Carroll, which is where both Nick Caserio and did Josh McDaniels go
he
there?
He did. They were teammates.
They were teammates at John Carroll. And then there's a few other. John Carroll's like a a sneaky hotbed of coaching talent.
Yeah.
So I this is what I'm starting to wonder about Brandon Staley, is that he's a media darling, especially he is a blogger darling, because when it comes to the analytics and kind of the more intellectual side of football, he's really bright and he's good at talking to that. He doesn't have the old school, you know, blowhard football coach persona or the stereotypical persona. But I'm starting to wonder if maybe the issue with Brandon Staley, the defensive mastermind who doesn't seem to field good defenses anymore as a head coach, I wonder if he's a little bit like one of these guys that's really, really good at the technical side of football, but not the actual coaching of football, which is an issue when you're a football coach. You got to coach the team well, because there's certain things they do on offense and defense where they still look a little bit like a poorly coached football
team. When you say the technical side of football, are you talking about like in-game decisions and managing a game and things?
No,
like
I think like theory and philosophy.
Gotcha.
And then, you know, game planning and stuff like that. But there's a difference between game planning and then executing the game plan. And some of the stuff that when Brandon Staley was with the Rams, hey, I mean, it's gotten a little annoying that there's all this drooling over these defensive coordinators who have awesome talent and play a bunch of cover two. Like, yeah, that's what you do when you have awesome talent. You let football players be football players. Like most of those coaches, I played for Vic Fangio, and Vic Fangio, when I was a player, I'd talk to him about it, and he would always say, like, you know, ideally, if you can stop the run with seven guys, you're in the best spot possible, because then you can just play cover two and it makes everything a whole lot easier. And you can mix your coverages up. But as long as you can stop the run and rush the pass, stop the run with seven guys and rush the passer with four guys. And when Vic has had the opportunity to have talent like that, like all of a sudden people act like he's invented a new defense with a cover two. And Brandon, wow, Brandon Staley has awesome players and he plays cover two. Yeah, that's what you do. But so it's not quite as simple as that when you don't have a bunch of all pros on your defense.
Yeah, I Staley and the Chargers are a really interesting team to me, because the Chargers feel like a team. It doesn't matter who you plug in as the head coach. It doesn't matter who you plug in as the quarterback. The Chargers somehow find a way to charger things. You know, they've replaced Phillip Rivers with Justin Herbert, and they still have just as many weird, like silly comebacks allowed, silly mistakes at the end of games, poor injury luck. Like it feels like a cursed franchise. No matter who the head coach is and who the quarterback is, this is who the Chargers are. Look, they lost to the Texans last year in Week 16. Like there was an article I read that listed all of the weird things that the Chargers allowed to happen to them last year to miss the playoffs. And you know, they go 9-8. And they come in like the Chargers did many years under Phillip Rivers as one of the top five or six teams on the odds board to win the Super Bowl. And you look up at the end of the year and they're 6-10. Mm-hmm. And you wonder why they're 6-10, because they've got eight Pro Bowlers on the team and yet they're 6-10. Like this is, now they're not healthy for this game, but if they were healthy, like this is a super talented football team when everybody's healthy. They got Pro Bowlers all over the place.
They're banged the hell up right now. And I think the biggest and most crucial part is that they've got two quality starters out on their offensive line. And Justin Herbert did really well as a rookie with Pep Hamilton as his coach without a good offensive line. And I think that maybe people jumped the gun on thinking that this was some kind of, you know, Phillip Rivers type of guy that could play whether the offensive line is good or not. And I don't think it's as simple or as easy as that. And so far, like Herbert in this last game versus the Jaguars, he made some poor decisions, sometimes under pressure. One time, his one interception, he was really just staring his slot receiver down and like really badly. But I think it's affected his decision making. You add that his rib cartilage is cracked.
Yeah.
And if you had to draw the Chargers at any point this season, this is probably the perfect time to do it.
100%. You're spot on with that. Mills probably had his best game as a pro last year, best game as a pro, period, because it's last year plus three games this year. 21 against the Chargers, 21 to 27, 254 yards, two touchdowns. God, looking at the box score. Like, there was a game, my first reaction is, there was a game where Davis Mills was 21 of 27? No way. Wow. I can't believe it.
You know where the, I think where the the part, what the Chargers were able to do versus the Jaguars, or excuse me, what the Jaguars were able to do with the Chargers, was able to find some space in the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some of the easier throws actually were pretty open. So the Chargers just did not have that area locked down. I think like the Texans, they might just not be all that adept, or at least with this current group, with the linebackers. So I think there's an area of opportunity. The part that I'm worried about is when I think about how the Texans linebackers have looked in coverage at times, we got a little bit of a break from it last week just because Justin Fields is
so
such
bad.
An incredibly
yeah.
bad passer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's just awful.
He's awful. Yeah.
Yeah, that we were spared from that somewhat, even though the tight ends had some success. I don't think we're going to be spared from it this week.
No.
That's the huge challenge is, okay, can we keep – if Kamu Grugier-Hill has 20 tackles in this game, trust me, please – don't talk about it like it's a good thing, people.
Good
it's
luck with
be
that,
because
Seth.
He's targeted in coverage 18 luck. Times and has 18 tackles.
People love their tackles around here. Payne and Pendergast with you. It's a Football Friday presented by Miller Lite. Hey, what's Tyler's deal with Aaron Judge and Aaron Judge's face?
I don't know, man.
Tyler Milner is who I'm talking about.
Yeah, Tyler, he had a good night the night before, I think.
Okay.
When he went to the Astros game.
Okay.
It almost sounded like he just rolled. It sounded like he rolled in from like some poker game that had just finished
okay.
into the studio yesterday afternoon. But he hadn't seen Aaron Judge's mom receiving the ball from Aaron Judge after
right,
the game.
Right.
So he's not insulting Aaron Judge's mom, but he asked a question that Cho and Clint thought was a little bit beyond the limits of what should be asked on a radio show.
Does Judge's mom look as much like an ogre as he does?
No, she's actually a smaller lady.
Is her face ogreish?
I'm going to draw the line here. You ain't going to be talking about that guy's mom.
I mean, I asked a question.
No, you're not going to.
I mean, she birthed
like
that ugly dude.
Oh, my God. Now, you're out of line.
I mean, the DNA, that's how it works usually.
This is going past sports fan.
I mean,
you just called this woman an ogre.
I haven't seen her. I asked, does she have ogre qualities?
You're simply a POS human.
You're simply a POS human.
Does she have ogre qualities? I would answer no, but also I think I thought those two were trying to defend the honor of Mrs. Judge.
Yeah.
I feel like calling Aaron Judge's face ogre-like is a little bit over the I feel like that's a little much, Tyler. I feel like that's out of bounds.
Here's where I'm going to defend. First of all, Tyler, come on, man. Like, I don't look at Judge and say, like, oh, he's the ugliest human being on the planet. Maybe I'm a little off on that, but as far as I will defend Tyler in this, he wasn't calling Judge's mom. Let me back up. Judge is adopted, by the way. So the whole DNA thing, the whole birthing thing.
I'm not sure Tyler knows how DNA works.
They informed him. Yeah, who knows? Maybe he feels like it's COVID and it's contagious. Boy, if she stopped coughing on him, he wouldn't look like such an ogre. He was asking Clinton Show what she looks like.
Right,
they could
right.
have very simply said, no, she doesn't look like an ogre. And oh, by the way, it wouldn't matter because Judge is adopted, you know?
Yeah. It does, but it puts those guys in an awkward position. What if she did look like an ogre? Then you all of a sudden got to be...
You got to tell it like it is, you know?
No. Oh, no. No, you do not. That's.
I'm joking.
Yeah, I think Judge... The other thing, too, is that there's a chance that Aaron Judge ends up as the Astros right fielder next year. So you don't want to.
Oh, dude. I want this to happen because I can't wait to see Tyler Milner backtrack and talk about how handsome Judge is when he signs with the Astros for 8 years, $400 million.
You know what? He's handsome in the way that Joe DiMaggio is handsome.
Yeah.
Like, he's handsome in a 1930s, pre-dental care.
Yep.
People didn't really, there wasn't good nutrition everywhere.
Yes.
So you could fool yourself into thinking Joe DiMaggio was good looking. That's Aaron Judge's good look.
He's Industrial Revolution handsome. That's what we call that.
He only works 16 hours a day, and they give him gruel thrice a week.
Yep. And they're just working out the kinks with this electricity thing.
Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, not a handsome man.
He's the bell of the flower, Bill McCollum.
I guess. Yeah. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Football Friday. Football Friday, but Carlos Correa, y'all remember Carlos Correa, right? He'll be watching the postseason this year for the first time in a while. Carlos Correa, the big topic in Minnesota, will Carlos Correa be back as a Minnesota Twin? When you hear the answer from him to that question, you're going to get a real clear picture as to why the Astros said hell no to this three-year opt-out contract, one-year blah-bitty-blah that he got from the Twins. You'll hear that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.